What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Kicks and Picks podcast. We've got the whole crew assembled tonight to preview Serie A, and we have a special guest, Matt Santangelo, with us. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, guys. Pleasure to be on with you.
Yeah, I think second time with us, right?
Yeah, second time. Yeah. I think. I don't know. I don't know when the last time it was. Maybe it was the Scudetto year for Milan. I'm not sure.
Believe it was
definitely a derby. I think it was definitely a derby. I don't remember which one it was.
I don't know if it was like a season preview or something like that, or maybe like it was ahead of a couple big games.
And yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you back. We've brought Matt on to add a little extra Serie A knowledge to the three of us. And can't believe it, guys. 2 weeks away from the start of the Serie A season. Unsurprisingly, Inter favorites to repeat. Just to give you an idea of where we're going to start things off with Inter, minus 165 on the money line. I mean, when you get a future that's winning the league at minus 165, Nick, that's a pretty heavy favor when you're talking about futures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were minus 150 last year, so that right kind of in that same ballpark. I think got to be favorites to repeat, right? The continuity there is just off the charts compared to the rest of the teams. You're talking about the same coach with, this is what, his third or fourth year? I don't even, it's like a blur to me how long Inzaghi left Lazio and has been there with Inter. But nothing but good things. I think they've kept all of their key pieces, right? I'm trying to see who even went out. And yeah, it's
haven't really sold. I know they brought in Zielinski on a free, right? And then
yeah, Taremi, who I thought, yeah, like in my mind, Taremi was like 40 years old. I didn't realize he's only 30. So I guess that's a pretty good move for depth at that forward position. But I'm going to let Matt speak, but just high level, absolutely theirs to lose. And I think these odds are spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you look at, you know, the strength with Inter, it's not changing the parts every summer. I mean, I think that the core has been there. You know, last year they spent up on Benjamin Pavard. They used Jan Sommer was a cheap acquisition after selling Andre Onana to Manchester United, who seem to overspend on every player these days. Yeah, I think that, you know, like the strength in Inter is the fact that they have continuity, as you mentioned, Nick. And, you know, when you're able to bring in a player like Zielinski, who had a down year in Napoli, but some of his fine years at Napoli were pretty underrated. I think if you look at, you know, the fact that, you know, last year was a down year for Napoli in general, so maybe it's the outlier. If you get a player like that who's motivated, knows he's going to have to, you know, fight for minutes in a very competitive team, I think that Zielinski is going to be a really big X factor for them. And you're getting him on a free in the prime of his career. I think that's a really solid acquisition. They also did, as you mentioned, bring in Taremi, who Milan wanted. Of course, couldn't get the deal over the line. And you get a player like that on a free who doesn't have to play a big focal role. He could be one of the guys up top, right? You can play him in, you know, Copa matches. You can play him against, you know, the lower end teams of Serie A. And you can get a pretty good producing forward. You know, you have Thuram, you have Lautaro, and you have him. So, I mean, Inter have options. The midfield is still intact. Defensively, they're the best team in Italy there as well. So I think they actually did sign a goalkeeper too from Genoa, Martinez. I think he's like their backup behind Jan Sommer.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yes, I mean, they haven't really made any like groundbreaking moves, but I think they really just kind of, you know, redug their heels into the ground as the favorite to win the Scudetto once again.
Yeah, a club that won it by 19 points last year, yeah, too. They won it running away. So reinforcing without giving up anything really from the starting 11 makes it really big time for them, I think. And I think in some ways their goal for the season has to be even more, a little bit their eye on Europe, right? After 2 years ago, making the final of the Champions League, I think they disappointed last season in Europe by what I expected of them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's the bar for them, right? I think they've consistently been the past couple of years, the cream of the crop in Italy. Now, I do think that, you know, are they as, it's tough with Inter, because I think that obviously we have them as the favorites to repeat. The books have them as more of a favorite to win this year than they did last year. Nick, you mentioned, was it minus 150 last year, minus 165 right now, depending on the book you're going to. But at what point do certain players maybe regress a little bit? Are certain guys going to stay at the high? Like, is Acerbi going to continue to be a real good player? Is Jan Sommer going to, you know, be this, you know, stout goalkeeper another year? He's not old, but like, you kind of have to look at Inter as like, at some point, is someone going to press them? And I think that, you know, with some of the other teams and the transfer business they've done, you know, my question to you guys is there any room for anyone to at least like compete and contend? Is it going to be another double digit Scudetto victory for Inter, or do you feel that maybe what Juventus has done in the market, or, you know, some of the other teams, do you think maybe Napoli or Milan are going to come back in and at least give Inter a run for their money? Is there any concern there that, you know, you might have to lay a ton for Inter to win the title, but you might not get it as easy as you did last year? What do you guys think?
That's tough. I mean, you're basically asking, would you take Inter minus 9.5 points in the final table or the field? And, you know, looking at who's, you know, up to challenge them, it's, you know, Juve or Milan. Like, I wouldn't take anybody else besides them. I don't know. I tend to, the continuity, I think, is a huge piece of it. You know, Inter's defense, Serie A, for better or for worse, is always a defensive first league. I think you got to have that strong back line that's going to keep you, give you 3 points if you only score one goal in a match, right? And so I think that's kind of where I would, you know, ebb towards is just the fact that their defensive strength is probably going to be enough to kind of keep them consistent and not have those streaks where we see a lot of teams have three or four games where they pick up, you know, 3 points and they're dropping points to teams that are in the bottom half of the table unexpectedly. I think Inter is probably the best suited to kind of avoid those kind of streaks where you can kind of see it happening to at least Juve at the very least, and certainly everybody else below them, Napoli, Atalanta, and the clubs in Rome.
Yeah, I think continuity is the key, that word, right, with them. Them and Atalanta, the only two teams that are in that top seven, top eight kind of range that have the same manager from the beginning of last season and then going back a few more seasons on top of that. I mean, Daniele De Rossi in Rome feels like a veteran now after half a season because there's been so much turnover in the managerial ranks. It's kind of crazy. So I hope it's a closer title race because as a fan of the league, even if it's not Roma competing with them, I want to see like at least the title go down to the last few weeks of the season. But it's hard to see who has enough to really go head to head.
Steve, I mean, and guys, you know, for large parts of last year, Juventus were right there. They were a couple points off, and it seems as though they were they kind of shot themselves with self-inflicted wounds under Max Allegri, because they went on such a horrific run from the time they played the Derby d'Italia against Inter, lost, and they fell off a cliff and were clinging to a top four spot. I'd like to think that this Juventus team under Thiago Motta, which again, the ideas still have to take shape, but for all the players that they're selling, you know, Husin and Itsule, I do like some of the players they bought. I think that, you know, you Douglas Luiz, they got Kefren Thuram. I mean, I think that they've added some pieces where at least they're going to be a little bit more of an appealing option. Now, I don't have it in front of me as far as what the odds are for them to win the Scudetto. Gotcha. But what do you think there? Do you think that Juventus at maybe plus money is something that is appealing enough to take a little bit on? What do you guys think?
So they're the second favorite. Good instincts. They're plus 400. I think... Listen, one thing that everybody wants to shit on Juventus, and we like to as well, right? It's fun. They only had 5 losses last year. Like, for how horrible Allegri was supposedly, you know, the squad obviously is not up to par for Juventus, right? In our lifetime. Let's just be honest. In my mind, it's one of the worst Juventus squads that I can remember. They only lost 5 games. They didn't play, you know, particularly well. I think they only scored something like 50 goals, 55 goals. It wasn't a ton, but. You know, how bad were they really, but how much of a leap can they make? I mean, Motta, I think, has the potential to be a good coach, but right out of the gate, his first big job, do we think he can make that leap and really close the gap? I think it's going
to
be tough.
The easiest to pick up right away. Right.
And for all the shit we heard about Allegri's football, right? Like, this guy shipped out every youngster, every player that everybody wants, right? We hear about Chiesa, we hear about all these guys, Sule, you know, we'll talk about him. I don't know. I'm willing to.
But Nick, to be fair, too, again, like, this is the time of recording here. We still have a couple weeks out. We still have weeks of the market left, and this is a Juventus team that they're trying to get Adeyemi from Borussia Dortmund. That track looks like it's, you know, withered away, but they're still trying to go get two Koopa Miners. I mean, that's a difference maker. So, like, if you feel that Juventus have done enough, and you feel as though that at Juventus at plus 400. Is appealing, then you do it now because they start getting Koopa Miners, they start getting this player. Sure. it might not change it drastically to the point where now it's like not even worth taking, but the number is gonna evaporate, because I think that you get Cooper Miners, their market's unfinished. And I think they're, the way this team is moving on the market, they're trying to give, to their credit, Malta everything that he needs to build a really strong team here. Now, to Steve's point, their start, I don't have their schedule in front of me, but their starting matches are going to be very crucial, because with a new coach, you want some soft tosses. You want some games that Milan had last year to start the year, where you have all these new parts coming in, and you want some layups where it's like, all right, we can build some momentum, like cheap wins, get some guys in good form. And then you get into that part of the schedule where you have the derbies, the matches against the top 6-7 teams. So I think that there's value in Juventus. And I think, again, if you buy into this new direction under Malta, some of the additions they've made to revamp the team, you do it now on August 1st, or if you're listening to this the next day on August 2nd.
Yeah, so just to give you their schedule, first five, home for Como, away to Hellas, home for Roma, away to Empoli, home for Napoli. So three of the five matches they should win, right? Mm-hmm. Even integrating new players, you think. A couple of them would be a little tougher, but they get Roma and Napoli at home, which is advantageous to them early in the season.
It comes down to Vlahovic for me. I mean, what are you going to get out of him, right? Is he a 20-goal scorer? Does he get to that next level that we've been hearing about? If he does, you know, Matt, you're absolutely right. The spot on plus 400 is a great number for them. If he doesn't, if he kind of sticks to where he's been, injured every couple of weeks, you know, maybe a 12-goal, 13, 14-goal season, for me, it's just not enough for them to get over the hump. I mean, I'll reserve judgment until we see Malta and this team in action. Obviously, it's easy to get outraged over what's going on in training, what's going on in the preseason, what's going on social media. But for me, right now, they're definitely still a full level behind Inter.
I agree, for sure.
And if you like them as the clear second-best team in the league, some books will have a future like to win the league without Inter Milan. And right now on BetUS, that's plus 200. So that's still plus money if you think they're a clear, you know, second-place team.
Yeah, it's a good call.
All right, so the next team I guess we have to look at is your side, AC Milan. They would be probably the third favorite in most people's eyes, including the books. Right now, to finish, you know, first, they're plus 650 to win the Scudetto. You know, just like Inter and Juve, they're minus 250 to finish top four. So they're a clear Champions League contending side, according to the books. New ideas with Fonseca, change of, you know, management there. Still kind of forming the squad, right? Giroud is gone, so you have a new striker. They're working on Tammy Abraham from Roma, from what I'm reading, to go with Morata. What do you think of what Milan's done so far? Because new manager, new faces. What do you like? What do you dislike so far?
It's not enough as of right now. I think it's the jury's still out on this market, because I think that, you know, they did a lot of heavy lifting and the volume acquisitions last summer. And many of them panned out. I mean, I think coming into this year, you know, look, Pulisic, Tijani Reinders, there's a lot of players in this team that they bought from last year that I think Musa is another one. I think that those guys can take the next step that can help elevate this project. That's a whole Chukwueze as well, who's off to a really good preseason. Two assists in the game against City. He had the match winner against Real Madrid. So this is a player that, look, if Milan can get him in a position where he's in good form and he can handle his role a little bit better than Stefano Pioli did, I think you're talking about, you know, like Galliani always said, like a new signing when the guy came off the injury list or whatever. Like it would feel like a new signing, because Chukwueze for large parts of last season didn't really do anything. And now you're throwing him in, and now you're looking at an attack of Leao, Pulisic as a 10, Chukwueze, Morata. It's like, do you ask yourself, is that more dynamic? Is that better? Is that going to create more goals than it did last year? Absolutely. So in the attack, I'm not concerned about Milan. I think that there are some questions still to ask about, you know that the backups, can Okafor, you know, lend support there, because Milan have dealt with injuries and they're going to need rotated performances from guys like Okafor. So that's something to keep an eye on. As you mentioned, Tammy's another option they're going for the striker. So they're really trying to make an emphasis on attacking football. The biggest concern with this Milan team, of course, lies in defense. They just signed Pavlovic from RB Salzburg for almost 20 million with bonuses included, which is a good move. He's very young. He has a lot of experience at a very young age. But they were one of the worst teams defensively last year. And they were basically on par with Monza as far as goals conceded. Yet they somehow finished second in the league. So this is a team that I think if they're able to play to the vision and idea of what Fonseca wants from his guys, and they're able to be just a little bit more polished defensively, and Maignan's healthy, I think there's no doubt about this team being a much more, much stronger team, top to bottom. Now, I'm not going to say that they're going to be there with Inter, because I still think, we all think Inter is the cream of the crop in Serie A, but can they be right there with Juventus and competing with Inter? I absolutely think that's possible. But I think the key here for them is they got to finish the market strong. They do have to go and get Fofana in the midfield. They do have to go and get it right back. It shouldn't be Emerson Royale. It looks like it's going to be Emerson Royale. So I think that really ultimately how far Milan go this year is going to come down to Fonseca and how he's able to implement his ideas. Because if he's able to do that, I think that Milan fans are going to be pretty happy.
Yeah, I think the next step for Milan is, you know, can they beat those teams that are, you know, Juve and Inter and in the top, you know, 4 or 5 spots? You know, if you're looking at how they started last season, they had 7 wins in their first 9 matches, but 2 losses to Inter and to Juve, and that Inter one coming in week 4, pretty big one.
And those games too, like, I think that that's such a huge psychological thing with this team, right? Because they can bully these bogey teams and these teams middle to lower end of the table. But man, their big game record has taken a nosedive since that Scudetto winning year, where they had so much resolve, so much character. They were so galvanized behind the common goal of winning a Scudetto, is that they're absolutely getting battered and bullied by Inter. And I think it just really goes to show you how wide the margins were on a coaching level, on a squad level, and Steve and Scott and Nick, as we just talked about, the continuity level, which Inter have in spades. They have so much of it. So I think that, again, that Fonseca is going to be the key man in all of this. And if he's able to get a lot of these players to play to their level and they're able to stay healthy, which again was a huge issue last year, Milan are going to like where they're going to be, provided everything goes, you know, smoothly for them.
Yeah. Listen, go ahead, Scotty. Sorry.
I was going to say maybe a good litmus test for that is you have the same derby coming up early this season in match week 5, and I think it's the second to last week of September. So I think that's a pretty good, you know, spot to see and check, you know, does Milan have a little bit more in them this season and get a result in that. And that could be the springboard to, you know, a pretty strong first half of the season.
All right. I'm going to say some wild shit and not because of our guests, not because of our friends here in the comments. But this is the team I'm buying for a future. I'm not saying 100% they're going to win the league. I'm saying this by far represents the best value on the futures market. They're about plus 700. I think that to me is the best number you can get with a team that realistically has a chance to compete for a Scudetto. I thought so last year. And listen, they came in second. It was a distant second, but they came in second place, like Scotty mentioned, off to a flying start. I think the other thing that hurt them a little bit at the beginning of last year was Champions League. I think they had to put in so much effort into Champions League and they didn't necessarily get the results they wanted, right? That where they quite honestly could have won that group the way they played. The results just didn't come. And I think that kind of put a little bit of a damper on how they started the season domestically. So if they can get off a similar start this year, I really like this team. I like what they've done. Like you mentioned, you know, the reinforcements they brought in, especially last year, this midfield is strong. They're getting goal contributions from just about everywhere. And Morata's going to be good. Scotty's going to laugh when, you know, hearing me say that, because we rag on Morata a lot. But he's a known quantity. He's known in this league, right? You know, at worst, this guy's going to put in 12, 13 goals, right? Provided he's healthy. And I think his ceiling is a little bit higher, right? Provided that they play in a formation like that 4-2-3-1 you're talking about, where he's going to get a ton of chances. He might be offsides for half of them. He might miss 2 or 3 wide, but he's going to score goals, right? He's going to get points for you, especially against some of those lower level teams. So I think that's a really strong move. You mentioned Chukwueze is going to be good. I thought Loftus-Cheek was the player nobody talked about enough last year. He was absolutely outstanding for me. Too,
playing as a number 10, I mean.
So yeah. I think there's really nowhere to go but up for them. You know, how they're going to balance Champions League, that's another, you know, have they learned from last year? That's really kind of my big question. But in terms of who the squad is and what they've done, I like them better than I like Juve. I like them better than I like Atalanta. I like them better than I like Napoli.
It's interesting, too. I think that, you know, having these conversations as well, like over the past couple of years, I think it's a real true sign of the times changing in Serie A, where there's a lot of competitive teams. I mean, I think it's a testament to the fact that, you know, there's what, 8 or 9 teams playing in European competitions this year, more than any other major league. And I think, again, like it wouldn't surprise anybody if, oh, Napoli doesn't make the Champions League or Roma doesn't make the Champions League and it's Atalanta coming in second or third. And it's like, who saw this coming? It's like, they're a good team. I mean, they play good football. They have good players. They're well coached. The systems, they're well drilled. I mean, so I think that, again, like there's not many layups in this league. I mean, we haven't talked about Roma. We haven't talked about some of these other teams, but like if you're a Roma fan, you have to like where Roma's headed. I mean, they're getting quality players. The team seems to be very much rallying around Daniele De Rossi. He's having the offseason, his first full offseason to, you know, really implement his ideas. And they're making smart signings that are not like overspending per players where it's like, they spent this much for how? For who? Like Dovbeck is a good signing. Sule is a good signing. Like the pool of good quality teams is expanding. And I think that it really does make for, you know, an appealing title race. I mean, it's going to be a great year.
Yeah, I guess since Matt brought him up, maybe we'll transition to my squad, Roma. I was going to save him for a little bit later, but let's get there because the mercato for Roma has been
a lot of talk on Twitter.
A lot of talk because they're the team making noise in the mercato in the league, right? Nobody else has really made the amount of signings they've made for the amount they've spent. You know, financial fair play handcuffs are off a little bit, but they've also gotten rid of some dead weight on the books like Spinazzola, Aouar, Belotti, who were taking up some money there, which helped free up some space. So Sule is official.
Patricio, you didn't mention. Come on.
Oh, Patricio's another one. Yeah. Dovbyk from Girona. He was the capocannoniere of La Liga last season, coming over. Should be official in the next day or so for about $38 million with bonuses. Enzo Lefebvre, who is coming from Stade Rennes, who I spoke to someone for Chiesa di Totti that covers French football, and he's very high on Lefebvre. Angelino is now on a permanent deal. They brought in that Samuel Dahl, young left back, to kind of fill in behind him. And then they're probably still in the market for a right back, maybe another midfielder, maybe another winger. So I said my piece on my podcast. I want to hear people that are not Roma fans. What is your opinion of what Roma's done so far? And, you know, I'm not buying any Scudetto hype or anything like that, but I think, like Matt said, they're making smart signings, in my opinion, that are going to be sustainable for a 3-4-5 year project under De Rossi, the Friedkins, and the new director of sport, Gisolfi.
+175 to make top four. I'll just throw that out there.
That's not bad. I mean, I think that, again, look, I don't want to say anything bad about Mourinho because I know how Mourinho fans get. and this is live, so I'm not going to do that.
Not bad. Say it.
No. I like what De Rossi's done. I think that, you know, he's growing as a coach. He's the same characteristics and in the traits that he showed as a player, he's showing as a coach. There's very few that understand what it means to win at Roma than he does. Maybe it's only Totti's probably the only one, but I like the idea of a clean slate for him and having the opportunity to start with Lorenzo Pellegrini and find in with an understanding under De Rossi, who came on really strong under him in the second half of the season. Dybala, it's always been a matter of his fitness and injury, never a matter of quality. The quality is always there. And Steve mentioned, you know, the signings they've made. And I think that if you just take it there plus what they had last year, it's just a matter of, okay, the coaching for many teams. And I think you make a great point in that because there's a lot of coaching moves and changes this year. Bologna's changed coach, Fiorentina. So that's where I think the quality of coach is really going to come into the play and come into the forefront. this season, because I can't remember the last time we've seen this many wholesale changes on the bench for teams that are competing for real European spots. I mean, Roma, Juventus, Napoli with Conte. I mean, you go on and on and on. And I think that we can name all the transfers that players have got, how much they've spent, all the, you know, the net spend, whatever. The coaches are going to make the difference this season. More, probably more so than in recent years. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think, you know, you guys talked about the players coming in. I'm so torn on this Roma squad because I can't make a distinction yet on what realistic expectations should be. Like, are we talking about a sporting project expectation or expectation of, hey, we do have a fresh manager who obviously, you know, knows the ins and outs of the squad, but you know, he got that new manager bounce early on. I'm not going to say he faltered towards the end, but you know, what would Roma have, one win in their last six or seven games, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's going to be how his season goes this year, but what really is the ceiling for De Rossi? We don't know yet. So that's why I'm kind of wondering what the expectations are for this season, coming off of 3 years of Mourinho finishing what, 6-7-6, 7-6-7-7. I don't know, somewhere in that grouping. You know, is sixth or seventh place acceptable because you have a new coach and new players, or is it top five, Champions League, bust? You know, I want your take on it, Steve, but the pieces are there. Like Matt said, I think it's a matter of staying healthy, right? If Dybala can stay healthy, if Pellegrini can stay healthy, if they're really bringing in this guy from Spain and he's going to be the man, Roma is not going to be an easy out for anybody, and they absolutely will be challenging for a top four spot. If they don't stay healthy, if De Rossi shows that he maybe doesn't really have what it takes yet at this level, well, that's another story. Then they're battling for that 6-7-8 spot like they have been for the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, I can say that you're going to see a different style of football than we saw the last 3 years. Even toward the end of last season, De Rossi had to work with what he had, which was a squad built for Mourinho and his fairly defensive tactics for the most part, right? Now you've got players that can interchange up front and really attack, which is what they're going to want to do. They're not going to want to sit back and try to play, you know, for nil-nil draws at Inter or something like that. They're not going to be so negative in their tactics. I think bringing in Sule is a huge move because as a player with creativity a la Dybala, right? When Dybala doesn't have to play every match with the kind of players they bring in, Lefay can create from the midfield. Pellegrini, like Matt said, had a great bounce under De Rossi when he first came in. Then I think, you know, fatigue and little things like that started to wear on them. That's what I think got Roma down the stretch last year. They had a really, really tough schedule mixed in with Europa League quarterfinals and semifinals. He had to play pretty much the same three midfielders over and over and the same players over and over. And I think it just caught up with them. That's why I think they're trying to still bring in a little more depth in certain positions. But I'm excited. This is the most excited I've been in a few seasons, just in terms
who they're
bringing in. Right. I'm curious to see what Dubčić does. Right. He had a good season 2 years ago in Ukraine. I forget if he was with Dynamo or which side.
Shakhtar, I think, right there.
It wasn't Shakhtar. I forget which side, but, let me double check. But, you know, last year was his first real big season in a European league. And he performed for an overperforming Hirona side, right? So does he carry that form over? He's entering his prime at 27, which usually when strikers are kind of at their top, right? So does he do that again? If he does that again, if he puts up 20 goals in Serie A this season, he was with Dinapro. So if he does that, if he puts up 20 goals and you have Dybala chipping in 10 goals and you have, you know, maybe another 7-10 from Sule and then this Roma side could fly, I think, in terms of attack. I do think they need a little more depth at the center back position because behind Mancini and Ndika right now, it's Smalling and Kumbula. For all the good service Smalling has given the side, I think he's past it now at this level. Kumbula, you don't know what you're going to get with him. He wasn't very good for Sassuolo on loan at the end of last
Yellow
year.
Card. So
I do think they will try to bring in some kind of center back depth, maybe late in the mercato, even if it's a loan deal. Because they lost Diego Llorente, who was pretty solid for them on loan from Leeds. Scott might not have great memories of him in the Premier League for Leeds, but for Roma, he was pretty solid. So I'm curious to see how they finish out the Mercato because they have done some spending, you know, and I try not to get myself overhyped because I've done that too many times in the past. But this is the most excited for the group of players they brought in. De Rossi obviously was my favorite player when he was a player. I like what he's done as a manager. He seems to manage much better than Mourinho at this point in his career. The way he speaks about his players, the way he handles personnel matters in the media, things like that, I think will be a lot more positive in the dressing room. You know, Mourinho does that first year where he like kind of galvanizes the squad behind him, the siege mentality, and then it wears thin. And that's what I think has happened really with the last few stops, because, you know, people were questioning if he would last more than like a season in Rome, and he made it 2.5, brought a trophy, brought another final, which was great. But yeah, I think the players started to you know, grow tired of him.
Are you really more excited about this group of players than when you were like 2 summers ago when we had, you know, Dybala and Wijnaldum and Belotti and Matic? Because I remember you were pretty hyped about that group.
The Dybala signing was very exciting because that's Roma's biggest signing in a long time. He was at the airport.
He was at the airport. I forgot. Yeah. He attended the welcome ceremony.
But, you know, he was the biggest signing because Roma doesn't bring a player of Dybala's quality in on a free almost ever, right? Like De Rossi, Totti, those are homegrown guys, born and bred with the club, and that's why they were there. But in terms of how they're doing business down on the market, I think as a whole, I think this group is a more exciting group as a whole so far.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's a lot smarter. I mean, I think back when we were talking about that window, I called Dybala a luxury player. It didn't make sense for Roma at that time because I think they were still trying to build up, and then you're bringing in some of these older, you know, broken down players and Wijnaldum. And, well, I guess Wijnaldum wasn't broken then, but he was pretty broken when he played for Roma.
He broke when... Felix Afenajan took him out of practice.
Literally broke him. Yeah. So I think this is definitely a smarter window. I mean, if you're excited about it, coach, good. You know, I support you in that. But I feel like, you know, if you're coming in from like a, you know, maybe a little bit higher standpoint, it's not like the most exciting names in general. It's just an exciting kind of like strategy in terms of like how they're trying to build. They're trying to take chances on younger players that they can develop that have shown promise in other leagues and giving them the opportunity to kind of take the next step up. And if you hit on 2 out of 4, that's pretty good, right? At that point, like you've got, you know, a pretty good window just out of that with a pretty, you know, relatively small, respectable outlay in terms of transfer funds.
I think, Steve, real quick, too. I think, again, not to harp too much on the coaches, but I think that, you know, a lot of what's done Roma in not necessarily making, you know, top four or whatever, but just like underwhelming is a general theme for them, has been their inability to get up for those big games. I mean, you look at their big game record over the past couple of years, and it's like they do a pretty good job of handling the teams they need to. And typically, that's what really does springboard a lot of teams, you know, throughout a whole season. Because the fact of the matter is, how many you're going to play the majority of your games against bad teams if you're excluding the top 6 or 7, right? So you have 13 to 12 teams, 11 teams that it's like, okay, like you handle the Lecce's, you handle this team, you handle that team, and you split against some of these big teams, you'll find yourself in a top 4 spot. So like, I think that De Rossi has to be that manager that is able to reverse those fortunes there, because I think that's really plagued them over the past couple of years. They've done pretty well against Lazio and the derbies there. And I think, you know, it doesn't really take much to get up for a derby against Lazio, right? It's those other games where it's like, of course, they got absolutely destroyed by laid down to Roma in the Europa League. But that's another team where it's like they've fallen so short and underwhelmed so many times against in previous years. Can De Rossi change their fortunes a little bit so they're a little bit regressing more to the mean, or kind of meeting more in that middle of the road? We're like, they're not getting all these points. They're not winning every single big game, but they're getting a draw here and there. And it's kind of keeping the bus moving, where they're able to at least kind of keep pace, because I think they fall so victim to falling so far behind that it's like it takes like a historic or heroic run where they need to run off 4 or 5 in a row like they did last year just to like get to into maybe making top 4. Would you agree with that? Like that's kind of like where they...
Yeah, 100%. Even under Mourinho, the record against the top 5, top 6 teams that they're competing against was not good at all.
Yeah.
Toward the end of last season, they did pull out like 3 draws of their last 5 big head-to-head against Juve and Napoli. You mentioned Milan in the Europa League. That was kind of a bit of a statement from De Rossi, because Milan had dominated Roma in the league all the way up through last January. So winning in the Europa League felt really good for us. I know personally, like, seeing them beat Milan felt good, because when a team handles you so often, right, it becomes like,
it's nice,
like,
to get, man, one, like, right?
Yeah, when are we going to get one, right?
Yeah.
But even the way he handled the head-to-head against Inter early in his tenure, early in February, like, they lost that match 4-2, but he went right at Inzaghi's Inter, right?
No punches.
That's what excites me. You know what? I'd rather lose a match 4-2 like that to Inter, knowing you're the underdog and you go at him and you punch him in the face once or twice before they pull away, like, than to just do what Mourinho would do and just kind of sit back and play, you know, three center backs and drop your wing backs back and hope you can maybe get a ball to Lukaku or Dybala on the break and maybe hit on the counter, like, and then lose 1-0. Like, I'd rather go for it, at least if you feel good getting a couple goals against a team like that and you tip your cap to the better side. So I do think that aspect will change. I mean, Mourinho built such a great mentality in Europe that it even carried over into De Rossi's part of last season, where they got all the way to the semifinals of the Europa League again. Like, if you can get up for those matches, you should be able to get up for these matches in Serie A. I don't know if there's a familiarity thing that these other teams had on Roma when Mourinho was there, or, you know, maybe just European nights, the way Mourinho would approach those matches was more suited to a two-legged affair. But, you know, they got great result against Brighton. They hammered Brighton, who was, you know, pretty lauded coming into that last season in the Premier League. And they took care of Feyenoord when Feyenoord was flying in Holland. So I think the pieces are there. They're bringing in more talent. I'm trying to, you know, not get too excited about it, but I am feeling better than I have.
All right. So I'm going to assume, bold assumption here, Bologna won't be in the top five this year. I don't know if Italy gets a fifth Champions League spot the following year. I guess it depends, obviously, on how they perform this year, right?
Performance in Europe.
Are you guys, what's success to you then, Steve? Is it top four a bust, or?
Well, it depends if Italy gets the fifth spot, right? If Italy gets five Champions League spots again, Roma finishes fifth, they're back in Champions League. That's fine with me at this point in the project. Top four would be a success for me, though. Top four would definitely be a success. But again, who are you unseating? Are you unseating Atalanta? What's Conte's Napoli going to do? I think that's their biggest competition for a top four spot. I think it's going to probably be Atalanta-Napoli, because I'm assuming that the two Milan sides and Juve are probably top three.
Man, it's interesting. Like, you look at, like, you're talking four teams, and you give your four teams out that you think you're going to make top four, and then it's just like, you forget Napoli, and it's like, yeah, I get Napoli were poor last year. Yeah. But it's like, is Conte, like, you're really going to tell yourself Conte's going to come in, they're going to finish sixth?
And they're by far the best player favorite to finish fourth.
They're two best players.
And right.
There was a grim part this year for Napoli that Osimhen, okay, he might leave, right? Look, good chance that he wants to leave. And then there was the whole Cavada's agent at the Euros, like, oh, he wants to leave. And you're like, they're going to lose these two guys. Conte must be having a conniption right now. Now all of a sudden you're like, they keep them and they add – like, can you really tell yourself, just like, Conte is not going to make enough of a difference for them to at least be in that top four conversation? Because there's, in my view, there's no way they're as bad as they were last year.
Right.
I think we all agree.
No. I mean, swap how them, could they be that bad again, right? Like,
swap them for Bologna, right? In the conversation. But let's talk about them. We're there, right? Let's talk about Napoli.
They're the fourth favorites according to the books, right?
You just mentioned it, right? So
that's the Conte effect. I mean, how much is that driven by Conte? It has to be quite a bit, because he's won in Italy. He's won in England. He's a very successful coach. And I mean, do you think he's a manager that demands a lot from De Laurentiis? His every owner he's been under, he's always demands quite a bit on the market. Do you think they've done enough? Do you think Napoli have done enough to appease Conte for this project to see itself out over a couple seasons? Or do you think this is going to be one of those, him and De Laurentiis are going to clash, this was a recipe for disaster, why didn't anyone see this coming? Or do you think year one, they're going to have such a jolt of energy behind their coach that this team under Conte is going to be a well-drilled, well-oiled machine, and people are going to get an impression of them early on, like, they might win this, they might compete with Inter for the title. Man, where are you guys on Napoli? Do you think they're... is it too far ahead to be like, they're going to rebound that quickly to compete for a title? Or do you think that, hey, look, top four, they're a team that feels more or less like a lock?
I want to go to Scotty first, because he's the expert on these kind of prima donna big name coaches who kind of fizzle out like after a little. Give me your thoughts on Conte and the situation, because you were high on Napoli 2 years ago and you were the first one to sell Napoli last year. Like, I'll give you that credit all day long.
I think the problem with Napoli is they don't have a really high floor, right? Like, they can certainly fall back into where they were last season if things don't go well to start the season with Conte. And if, you know, with personality like Conte, like, you know, there's going to be some scrutiny, and how he handles that is certainly going to play a part in how the season progresses. But I'm also of the opinion, just based off of some of his recent track record, that, you know, he may not be the coach that he was 10 years ago, right? I think he certainly has lost a little bit of luster, but in a league that has, what you said, like six new managers in the top eight, you know, he's not going to be the worst of the bunch. So I think that works to his advantage. If he was coming in and maybe he was one of two new managers, then I certainly wouldn't be as high on him. But I think Napoli probably has like the widest range of where they could fall based off of who they have coming in and you know.
And does Osimhen go, right? Osimhen's still linked to leave. And if you replace him with Lukaku, is how much of a downgrade is that at this point in their careers?
Just to add on to this, guys. So last year, Napoli finished 10th with 53 points. In order to have gotten to a top four spot or top five spot, they would have needed 15 points to match Bologna in fifth. So 15 points, that's a lot to overcome. We're basically saying the amount of moves they made, the quality of moves they made, and the coach they've added, they're able to close that gap into effectively, you think that is worth 15 points or near 15 points.
So the two things I will say that can make up for it, I think Conte's coaching relative to what they had last year has to be worth three wins minimum, right? Like, let's give Conte, just by being him, three wins over, man, I can't even think of the guys who they start the season with. I already forgot.
I was thinking actually one manager.
Rudy Garcia.
So, Rudy. Right, Garcia, Mazzari, all these guys. That has to be worth something. And the other thing is, Osimhen missed a lot of time last year. And I know he's prone to missing time every year, but the Cup of Nations really took it out of him last year. So I think that was a big factor. So is there 15 points there? I think there is. It's going to come down to what the rest of the squad does. I mean, they brought in Buongiorno. I think he's going to be good, right? Strong player entering his prime, two good seasons in a row. Some of the other guys, you know, they got that center back from Real Madrid. I don't know all that much about him. I'm assuming if you're from Real Madrid or from their academy, there's something to you. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. We got to see what the depth is going to do, because they didn't really get much off the bench last year. I feel like Simeone really had an awful year. I don't know if he sticks around. Right. I think he may not be there. Raspadori is a player I don't personally like. What are you going to get out of him? But if you're telling me Osimhen's going to suit up for 30, 32 games, Conte's there, I'll buy Napoli picking up 12 to 16, 17 points.
So much with this Napoli market feels like it's hinging on whether or not Osimhen stays.
Definitely.
If you sell Osimhen for 120 million, well, that can open up a whole
different story.
Plethora of other moves for you to make. And maybe you get another 40, 50 million striker, or maybe they go in for a Jonathan David. Like, you don't know. A lot of hinges on whether or not Conte is able to convince Victor and say, give me 1 year. If he give you 1 year and he plays and he explodes and he has like a Lukaku-esque breakout year, maybe more reminiscent of what he did a couple of years ago, where he was scoring every other week, it felt, then that conversation shifts. But if Osimhen gets sold and we don't have a name to go off of, this league is very difficult to score goals. Now you're asking the question, where are they getting the goals from? And we're 2 years removed from them being the darling of European football, getting all this praise and plaudits top to bottom, to now looking for a guy where it's like, who's going to give us the goals?
Yeah. And I think that's spot on. I mean, every team we've talked about so far, and I don't want to keep repeating myself, but every player, even like, 15 goals is the new 25, I feel like, you know, the way it's gone the past 2 years in this league. So if you're getting 15 plus from your starting striker, goal every other game almost, I mean, that's like pretty good right now, and that's weird to me.
I think, too, it's like the conversation is very interesting when people say, You know, they think 20 goal scorers grow on trees. That was a conversation that Milan fans always, we need a 20 goal scorer. I hope you mean all competitions, right? Because a 20 goal scorer in Serie A, how many can you guys name, aside from Lautaro Martinez, scored 20 plus last year?
Zero.
Yeah, I don't think there was anybody.
Right? Like 20 goals is a hard thing to do in this league.
You have to score more than every other match.
Yeah. It's then there was the years ago, what was it, 2016, 17, where there was like 5 20 plus goal services. Cardi, it was Dzeko, it was Belotti. I mean, you had guys, Immobile, you had so many guys scoring 25 plus, 20 to 25. Now it's like the bar is lower, and it's more so the amount of goal scorers and the way you're able to spread those goals in that and distribute it across the team. And I think a team like Atalanta does a really good job of doing that. Because over the years, they've had like a Duvan Zapata to give you 13 to 14, but then you'll get 6 to 7 from Papu. You'll get 6 to 10 or 6 to 8 from this guy. And now you have 5 goal scorers of 10 plus goals in your team. See, now you're unpredictable. Now you're a team that can kind of beat teams any other way versus a hope and a prayer from your star guy being out there. Because these 20 goal scorers, they don't grow on trees in this league. It's difficult to score in this league. So I absolutely agree with you, Nick. I think if you're able to get 15-ish from your starting striker. I mean, Milan got it from Giroud last year. He had 8 assists as well. Like, I think that there's more to goals and in these strikers than making an impact.
Yeah, and they lost a valuable piece in Zielinski from the midfield, right, who could chip in a goal here and there and those kind of things. You brought up Atalanta. I think we have to talk about them a little bit. Team won the Europa League last year, finished top 4. They really came on late in the season, right, to finish 4th and talk about continuity. Gasperini he's made this team in, they were one of those kind of yo-yo squads for a while, up and down, Serie A, Serie B. I mean, they were mid-table all the time when they were in Serie A at best. And here they are. They're in Champions League. I don't have the number in front of me. I'm going to guess like 5 of the last 8 seasons, 4 of the last 7, something like that. It's got to be. Right? Like, they started out as a thorn in the big club sides. Like, at first, they were like a thorn in Roma's side to me when Roma was still a Champions League side most of the time. They were, like, starting to kind of come up. And now they're a side that you expect to compete for top 4. We'll see if Coop Miner sticks around or if Juve's able to prime away with the money they got from Sule and Huijsen, because that's probably what those sales were geared toward, because the rumor is 45 million euros. I mean, he's a good player for them. But I mean, they've plugged and played for a while, right? They've sold guys for big amounts and then just plugged other guys in, and they've had no problem just continuing being at least a Europa League quality side year after year. So like, where do you see them? So far, they brought in Ben Godfrey, center back Everton, Sulemana from Cagliari, younger defensive mid, and then of course Zaniolo comes in on loan, and we'll see if they bring in anybody else if they do drop that Coop Miners money. But where do you see Atalanta? I mean, they're back in Champions League. They qualified twice, kind of, right? Because they won the league and they won the Europa League. So is that going to be a detriment to them, or are they still a clear top 4 side to you?
It's tough with them because I think that, you know, year to year, they flirt with being a team that's like a shoe-in for top 4, and then they're a team that concedes too many goals, and they have the overhauling constantly catches up to them. This feels like it could be one of those years. I think that, look, and this is no knock on them, but a team like Atalanta historically don't spend a ton of money. They rely on their scouting. They have a really good academy. Their eye for talent across Europe is there, obviously. And you reeled off the names. I mean, it doesn't seem like a team that's, okay, what's the next step?
Right,
yeah.
They're a team that, like, if you're asking me, hey, they just won a Europa League. They humbled Liverpool. Sorry, Scott. But, like, they won something. Are they going to be a team that's like, hey, let's go and spend more money? They're not going to deviate.
And beat Leverkusen in the final, right? Like, kind of took apart Leverkusen in the final, too.
Like, so is this, like, this is a team that either can go one of two ways. They can say, hey, look, Gasperini's our guy. We're happy to meddle between that top 4 spot. We're not going to spend too much and stretch ourselves too thin, but we're not going to sit here and be complacent. That's what it feels like. They're kind of like just kind of riding the wave, just kind of vibing right now. And it's worked for them. I mean, how many years has Gasperini been going at it? 8 years with the team? I mean, this is a team that's been consistently Europa League with their ceiling being a top four team. Yeah. They play really good football. And this is a team that is so driven by the system, by the coach's ideas, that it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise anybody here in this conversation that Zaniolo, he somehow finds it. He somehow stays healthy. Yeah. And he's somehow the player that everyone thought he was going to be in his early years at Roma. Like,
It would surprise Scott and I.
And you have
Samatta, who is one of the more frustrating players to watch, because you see some of the goals he scores at Anfield and in the Europa League and the second half of last year. And then you see him at the Euros and you're like, where is this guy?
Right.
Like, is this guy going to be, is he's going to show up today? Is he going to be committed today?
Yep.
So that's where I feel on Atalanta. I'm feeling like a top six, seven with them, which is fine. They'll make a good run in Europe and Europa League. They'll play appealing football. They'll be a thorn in the side of the top teams in Serie A. Yeah. But I just don't see that they're being ambitious enough. And that's okay. Like,
it's spot on. Yeah. Dude, what I want to add on to that, like, they could be, or maybe fans of Serie A really want them to be Dortmund or RB Leipzig, right? The team that has hung around for all this time and really was able to elevate and take that next.
And then just says, that's what we're going for.
Right. And they won the Europa League, right? We can't take that away from them. I want to put that aside. I mean, domestically. And they just don't want to do it, right? For everything you said, they're vibing. I love the way you put it. I think that's so spot on. They have their manager. They have their fans. They have their culture. They have the next man up mentality. They know that they're going to bring guys in. They may shine. And then they're going to ship them out. Or they may stick around and enjoy it, but never really hit the next level. So I'm so with you. I mean, listen, plus 2,000 to win the league. I think it's wishful thinking. What are we to get into the top four here? Because that could be a good one. Plus 150. It's not that good. But you mentioned it. They give up a ton of goals, and they've really done nothing.
And they're kind of streaky too. Like, they'll have games where they'll bludgeon the team 5-1, 5-2. Yeah. And then it's like, they'll go on it with these little mini skids and then they get hot.
Yeah.
So like that strikes me as a team that's like, will be comfortably Europa League. And again, like, if you ask Atalanta fans, like, look, we just won a title last year. We have good players. We have good fans. The books are good. Revenues, yada, yada, yada. Like, they're not sitting here. They're not worrying about their coach. Like, everything's good. Like,
They're not Lazio. They're not Lazio. Let's say, like, that's what I aspire to be if I'm Lazio. I mean, you mentioned Zaniolo. I don't have the highest hopes for him. He's not a kid anymore, right? He's 25. He'll be 26 this year.
The head, man.
This is your last chance, right? This is you either figure it out or you're Balotelli 2.0, right? That's where you're at. Scamacca, the guy, again, I don't personally like him. We saw that in the Euros, contribute. He has these games, these stretches where he contributes absolutely nothing to the team. Lookman is awesome. He's probably my favorite player on the team, you know, and he missed a lot of time last year, and they still had this year, right, where they finished top five and they won a trophy. So if he is healthy, obviously he doesn't have the international commitment, plays most games. You know, could he take the next step? That's what it's going to take. Him, Zaniolo rounding into form, Scamacca, really, these two guys elevating their game just a little bit. Because if they lose Coop Miners, that's a big, big loss. And I don't know what's going on with CDK, because it's another dude that had a phenomenal year last year.
That became a permanent deal for them.
So he's there. So, okay, can he repeat what he did last year or build on it? Those are the questions.
I think he's going to be asked to take a more elevated role too. I think he was more of like let's just put him into certain games, get his confidence up, and then he started to grow with the team. But I think that this year, I think that Gasperini is going to really ask a lot more of him. Permanent deal, as Steve just mentioned. I think that now it's, okay, year two, like the first year at Milan was an anomaly. This is a good player. And now it's one of those, can Gasperini take him to a different height? And you all know it's probably potentially could follow, right? He has another really good year that's better than his first, and they sell him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they got players in this team too. Ederson's a great midfielder. I mean, I think we haven't talked about him as well. Scalvini, he had a huge injury before the Euro. So like,
what if they have a lot of young players?
It seems like they're kind of shifting again. Like, they're always constantly like 2 years project, and then it's like, all right, new guys now. And then it's like, we have a couple guys at a core, but like, if you sell Coop Miners, he plays such a focal role in that team that I think you take him out. I have to see who you bring in. I can't just like, it's with many of these teams, right? It like hinges on, if you sell a key player, like Napoli, you get rid of Osman, that changes the whole conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, Nick, you brought it up, so we're going to have to go there as we kind of round out our big sides here. It's your side, Lazio. I'm looking at transfer market right now. Signings. I mean, tell me if you've heard of anybody besides like Castrovilli on a free and Nuno Tavares coming from Arsenal on loan. You got a couple of players, one from Salernitana and one from Hellas coming in for 10 and 9 million euros. Tukwana and Naslin. And then you see the outgoing transfers. You see Luis Alberto, Ciro Immobile, Kamada, Philippe Anderson. It seems like a
addition
negative...
by subtraction there.
What's
his name? And Lazio didn't get them. I'm thinking Ngonj from Verona. That was Napoli, right?
Yeah, Napoli.
Yeah. So when I see that, Nick, I mean, you're losing your all-time leading goal scorer or close to it, right? In Immobile. And you're losing Alberto, one of your more creative players. I know he didn't have as big of a role last year or two, but like, where is this Lazio side right now?
So I'm much like when I spoke about Roma, I'm in between two places with this Lazio squad. It's the frustration that I kind of alluded to when talking about some of these other teams is doesn't seem like there's a project here. It doesn't seem like they're building towards anything. It seems like they're just okay with this mediocre season, 2 out of 3 years, and overachieve maybe the third, right? Make Champions League, sell your players. You know, they've been in this cycle for 10, 12 years. They don't have a shirt sponsor. Like, I don't know. Like, what are we doing? Things like that. But then, Sadi really got on my nerves probably earlier than most Lazio fans, so I'm not upset to see him go. But then you bring in Tudor, who, you know, we can all have opinions on him, and then he's gone after 2 months because Lotito is just ADL light. So what's Lotito really doing? Does he care? Does he just want to line his pockets with money and say that he owns a club? That's what it seems like to me. But from a sporting standpoint, I'm kind of okay with going into the season with no expectations because – 6 of the teams we just mentioned are just better than Lazio. Let's be honest, right? They have better squads or a better manager or a more clear focus or a more clear project. We don't have that. And I'm kind of okay with it. We got younger. I'm okay with that. Right. I hate to see guys like Alberto and Mobile go, but it's time to reset. And they've needed that for probably a year and a half. So this seems like a reset year to me. Am I thrilled about buying players from Salerno? Not in Hellas, no, not really. But we're getting a lot younger. Castrovilli, if another guy, if he can stay healthy, I think he can still give something to the team. I expect a guy like Rovella to be better. Guendouzi was really, really good last year, so hopefully he can continue that and build on that. I think Nuno Tavares from Arsenal really is going to look to make a mark. So there's some pieces here for this team to be fun to watch. What we're going to get out of this coach, Baroni, I don't know. I don't think anybody's expecting them to finish top 5, maybe even top 6. So could they surprise? Could they have fun? Could they start to build an identity? That's really what I'm looking for. Because last year to me was a waste anyway. I mean, they obviously did pretty well in Champions League, making it out of the group, very difficult group, beating Bayern Munich in one of those legs. So I'll hang the banner for that. Right. We beat Bayern 1-0. But a reset was needed and it looks like we're getting it at the right time. So it's not a positive or negative outlook. It's just kind of, this is what we needed to do and let's see how it pans out.
Yeah. And the books agree with you that they're a clear seventh at best because they're plus 600 to finish top 4. The next team above them is Rome at plus 175 as the sixth team.
Yeah. I think with Lazio, it feels so much like a football team that doesn't know what do we want to compete or do we want to just punt on the year and just rebuild?
We want to pretend that we compete.
Yeah.
I think the rebuild should have happened last year.
Yes.
I think it was a year too late. And I think it's difficult to do that when you have an owner like Lotito, because I think and you have such the impact from fans in this sport is so unique to any other thing we've seen in America, where it's like, No. Like, Roma's doing this. You guys got to go and get players. Like, you guys got to have an ambitious project. You have to compete. This is still Lazio. And I feel as though that with the moves they've made, yes, you mentioned some players. I think Rovella is a player that I like quite a bit. I thought that last year Juventus should have given him a try. Of course, Allegri's very stubborn in the way that he tries to, you know, integrate a lot of young players. He had to do it by force last year because of the injuries and just the change in direction. But I think that this Lazio team, yeah, I think it's spot on. I mean, if they find themselves Conference League and like hitting good form and identity takes shape and they're able to be in a Europa League conversation, I mean, Nick, you're taking that, no doubt about it. I mean, you're talking the past couple of years where you're losing, you know, Immobile's fallen off a cliff. You lost Milinkovic-Savic. You lost Alberto. Like, you're losing the cornerstones of your team that were, you know, focal points of when, you know, Lazio was competing for Scudetto in the COVID year, yep. Right? So it's like there's a clear shift, but I think it's sometimes it just they fall victim of their own, you know, the Lotito, just he's in the way. Like, it's just one of those things where it's the stubbornness, and it's like, I got too big of an ego. Okay, Tudor, you're gone. It's like, yeah, but Tudor was a pretty decent coach. I thought he was a pretty decent coach for you guys. I thought he could have been a solid manager right now, at least a bridge manager right now. But then they changed the manager. So it's like, it's many ways similar to what happened with Napoli. And then Napoli goes against Conte. There's a difference, obviously. So, yeah, I think then Lazio are they're in a weird spot. I absolutely agree with you. I think that, you know, there's going to be a lot of frustration with Lazio fans this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Smiles before you even started saying anything.
I agree. I think this is the first time in quite a few seasons now that Roma, I think, is clear of Lazio. I think Nick would agree. Like, it's been pretty competitive in recent years, and Lazio has been slightly better most years, but I don't think that's the case this year.
We'll clip this and we'll repost it over and over and over.
And hopefully my words will ring.
I'm going to send it to Chiesa di Totti, all the editors over there.
So let's go to the opposite end of the table now. Let's go to the relegation side of it. Three new sides up: Venezia, Parma, and Como. Venezia and Parma were up a couple seasons ago. They're kind of, Parma was in Serie A for a while. You know, historic club in some ways. Venezia was up a couple seasons ago. Como hasn't. I don't know, Matt, if they've been up. God knows how long it's been. If they've ever been up, right? But they've got some pretty good ownership behind them. It seems the manager's who, Cesc Fabregas, right? I believe.
Yep.
Cesc. And looking at the relegation odds, they're nowhere near odds to be relegated. Like, right, the books have Venezia -150, Empoli -125, Cagliari +120. Verona +125, Parma +135 is their five clubs who have a decent shot of getting relegated. Lecce Udinese +350, and then there's Como at +800, which for a newly promoted club, that's kind of crazy to see them at +800. Like, I know they brought in Rafael Varane. I know that they will spend some money, it seems.
But yeah, they brought in somebody else.
They
big
deserve
too.
+800.
I mean, this team feels similar to what Monza was when they came to Serie A a couple of years ago. You had Berlusconi, you had Galliani, you had the personalities. They were trying to get, you know, these like big name players, even though the players were, you know, kind of at that tail end of their career. And I think that, you know, what Como is building is very interesting. And I think people they lose sight of the fact that we mentioned a lot of the quality that's in this league, and it's very top heavy. There's a lot of bad teams in this league.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, look at the table, look past Napoli in 10th, and look at some of the teams that were like 13th, 14th, and you're like, bad. Like Udinese, and then you look at these teams, you're like,
There were six, seven teams in the relegation race for a while last season.
Until maybe week 37,
Like Sassuolo. Yep. Are we really going to tell ourselves, like, Como's going to get relegated? Like, would it surprise anybody if they finished 10th, 11th?
No, it
wouldn't surprise me if they finished 20th.
Yeah. But they do have those veteran players, like you mentioned, that have come in, like Varane, right? Alberto Moreno, who, you know, Belotti.
That's a big one.
Belotti, Moreno is not good. Don't put Moreno.
No, but Scott, for like a side fighting relegation, right? No. Like,
it's Moreno.
Okay.
You can say Pepe Reina. I'll back you up on that. I don't care if he's 65
Pepe
years
Reina,
old.
41 years old. Pepe Reina. Belotti was the other one they signed. Yeah. I mean, does he refine his goal scoring form a little bit with a smaller club where the spotlight's not on him? I don't know. We'll see. He didn't show it at Roma. Yeah. Didn't show it at Fiorentina, really.
I like his Strafezza too. It was Lecce last year. Yeah, I like him a lot.
Cutrone was a good striker for them last year. Is he a player that, you know, can recapture the some of the good things we saw without Milan? I know it's a very distant past, but this is a player that scored what, 15 to 16 goals last year in Serie B.
Yeah,
maybe he's playing for his local team. Like, look, I think that Como has an identity. You could see it. They have the fan base. I think they're going to be one of those teams that's very difficult to play against away. And for that reason, I like the fact that they're not going to be a team that is going to lay down to the bigger teams. Yeah. And the teams that don't do that, more times than not, find themselves staying up. It might not be 10th, 11th, 12th, 14th, 15th. Like, that to me is where I see them. But I see them comfortably staying up. Like, I don't see them being a team that's like, whoa, like, they had a miserable season. They're going to get relegated. Because I think that there's too much ambition there. I think they're going to create an atmosphere at home that's, again, makes it very difficult for even some of the best teams in Serie A to play at. I know Lecce did that the past couple of years. They were very difficult for Inter split points against them. I mean, Milan makes it difficult in most games anyway. But I think that Como is going to be a team that, you know, under Cesc Fabregas is going to play good enough football. They're going to compete in many games. They'll fall short, you know. And we mentioned the names. It's nice to have those big names.
Experience.
And stuff. But you take off the rose colored glasses, you're like, all right, like Pepe Reina, fine. Like, we're really gonna like hang our hat on Pepe Reina at this part of his career. Like, I think they got Alduro too.
Alduro, from,
yeah.
So they made some.
They'd be moves. Legend.
Yeah. It would be fun if they got Balotelli. That'd be fun.
But, yeah, hey,
I love that.
I would. I want him to come to Inter Miami. I'm ready for him. I'll welcome him. I'll be at the airport if he comes.
He's just vibing. Every year it's a new team. He's like,
yeah.
The one thing I'll say, I agree with what you're saying, and I want to buy with what you're saying. If you're going to give me plus 800 on a newly promoted team to go back down, just on principle, I have to take that. I just think that's a little bit insane, but I do agree with you. I think they stay up. Yeah. I think. Hellas, three of us have been talking about Hellas for 3 years now, right? That they just seem to escape year after year. I wish they were a little juicier than that plus 125, but I think Hellas is a good shout to go back down. Udinese at plus 350. They were awful. They were awful last year. I love them at plus 350. And then I think Venezia probably, or Empoli, one of those two teams for sure.
Empoli. Goes. I mean, Empoli was what, 2 minutes away from getting relegated, right? Like, they scored in the 97 minutes. Scored, right?
Some of these teams just aren't ambitious enough. Yeah. Like, they'll go out there and they'll play like, look at Hellas Verona. They did everything in their power in January to say, we're okay with getting relegated. They got rid of N'Gonge. They got rid of like pretty much all their top players. And somehow here we are.
Still here. Yeah.
We're still here. It's like almost as it like again, like it's just like they're like, we can't beat these guys. Like just go to Serie B. We can't move.
it'd be nice if a club like Parma stays up just for name value in the league. I think it's always fun to have like teams like that get Sampdoria back in the league. But
we need to get Catania. We need to get Bari. Yeah. We need to get those teams back.
Yeah, yeah. Palermo, the South needs some more representation in the league.
Yeah, Parma. I mean, they haven't brought anybody in. I don't. They won the league last year, or they came in second.
I think they won the league.
I believe it's Parma won the league.
Okay, so I mean, I'm assuming they have some decent quality, but they've made no moves yet. So I don't know.
Time's running out.
they've got that somebody. Guy, the Romanian man, right? Who was pretty good for them at the Euros. I'm pretty sure.
Sure.
They got Zion Suzuki, a goalkeeper from Japan.
Okay.
Emmanuel Valeri from Frosinone. And then they got some guy from Regina, left back.
Cool. Yeah,
I mean, that's just, if you look at the teams that got promoted, like, they're almost a shoo-in, like you would assume.
Yeah, you're right. Let's plus 135. I like them. Right back.
Yeah, I'm going through this roster, man. There's not many names I recognize on this roster.
Like that's but there's the teams every year that get promoted, and of the three, there's typically the one that's ambitious. Yeah. There's the one that, hey, we're just happy to be back in Serie A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Parma. And then Venezia, yeah, where it's like it hinges on, okay, can they keep this player? Tessman looks like he's going to be either going to Fiorentina or I don't know who else. Is it Roma?
Yeah.
I saw Fiorentina were the last one I saw. I know when Inter was linked, they were going to loan him back to Venezia for the season, but they're not involved anymore, I don't think.
So that's another hell of a point, though. Like, Como and Venezia seem to me like the teams that have the ambition. I don't know if that's artificial, if that's manufactured, like, based on what we see, but it's the location of the teams and the stadiums. It's the history around the towns the village.
Curb appeal, too.
Right. And like you mentioned, right, American players or players that we're familiar with from other leagues. Like, is that clouding our judgment, or are we spot on and Parma's the clear candidate to go back down?
I mean, we'll see.
Interesting conversation,
They'll shut me right up if Parma starts playing champagne football week one, match day one.
So I'm looking at this Empoli stat. I didn't realize this. Empoli scored 29 goals last season. That was last in the league by a fair amount. I think Salernitana was 32, and then everybody else had at least 40. I mean, how often does that happen?
How do they stay up?
Yeah,
they didn't give up a lot. Those other teams gave up like 70 goals each.
Empoli, Udinese, like, well, not maybe not Udinese, but like Empoli and some of these teams, like, they're the types of teams that'll just field a 30 and up team and have like a 35-year-old poacher striker, and he'll get 9 goals and the winner on the final match day to seal survival.
Yeah.
That's what Empoli does every year, it feels.
I don't know. I feel like this has to be their year. I think they got to be going down. And they're not bringing anybody in either. I think they've got like 3 loan moves and that's it.
These teams don't spend. No. They don't really care. Like, no. That's why there's been conversations, you know, I've seen on Twitter. We calling it Twitter still, X, whatever.
Twitter, yeah.
Twitter. People are saying like we should change to an 18 league system, like the Bundesliga, because it's like some of these teams don't do anything. They don't.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be the worst thing.
No.
All right. Anything to add before we wrap up? I think we'll leave.
So there's nothing on like awards like.
Capo Caniere or anything. Usually you get the Capo odds. I don't see those. I was curious to see. I don't know if they'll wait till we get closer to match day one when some of these transfers wrap up.
Like the more European driven books don't even show any of that stuff.
I didn't see it. Premier League didn't have them either. So yeah, I think Coach is right. I think they're waiting for like the Mercato to finish.
We'll loop
assuming
you back
Lattaro in for your prediction.
Yeah, it's got to be.
I mean, I've seen people give Lattaro Ballon d'Or nods.
Hey, deserves as much as anybody else this year.
He's going to get it because he plays in Serie A, but.
Yeah.
Trying to see. I'm going to take a quick look at one last Italian book here.
That's the same book that Tonali and Fagioli went to, right?
Probably.
It's the very one.
Future
sponsor of the pod.
I'm excited to see on a different one while Steve's looking. I'm excited to see Tonali back in a couple weeks.
Yeah. What's like the redemption arc look like?
I mean, this is a player. I got the jersey. One of my favorite players, and all of a sudden I was like, this got to be fake. There's no way.
And then I'm not seeing anything.
Yeah, nothing.
All right.
Well, we'll loop you back in then. When the odds come out, we'll tag you. You're going to give your predictions via Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Matt, dude, thank you so much again for joining us. Not only joining us double duty after you recorded your own podcast, which you're about to tell everybody about.
Yeah, so you guys can follow me on Twitter at @Matt_Santangelo. Everything I am affiliated with is in the bio at That Milan Pod with Martino Pucci. I know you guys are very familiar with that guy. Doing writing work for Milan Reports, Football Italia. I'll probably be having some Serie A fantasy content. So if you guys are Fanta Calcio people, nice. I'll be putting out some stuff in the next week or 2 weeks in the ramp up to the season. So anything I'm working on, I'll share that on Twitter again at @Matt_Santangelo.
Yes. But thanks again for joining us. Thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back in the next week with another league preview to be determined. And everything we got is on YouTube and Twitter. Follow us there.